Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I think they get Pollock. Port doesn't have much room to move on his contract, offering him sort of say $450,000. North have got a $700,000 deal on the table.
V450.
About that. And I think the first year is front ended, so it'll be about $900,000 a mil for the first year.
Hello and welcome to the Round 21 Super Footy Podcast. An astonishing round, finished with an astonishing game at the MCG, Melbourne versus Sydney. We're going to start there. First of all, welcome to you, Jay-Z Clark and Lauren Wood.
Hello, Michael. Who is going to take on Richmond? Who is going to seriously challenge them? Because we saw this weekend that no one wants to put their hand up. It could be your boys back-to-back again.
Incredible afternoon at the MCG, wasn't it? As the Sydney song says, the odds are great or small, and the odds were certainly great against them today. They were two down on the bench, not far from where you were sitting, Mick. Of course, Alex Johnson, heartbreaking news for him, but what a win by the Swans.
Oh, it was incredible. I was down there doing the boundary for AW, and he was over on the other side of the ground. You could see the way he went down, and with his history, you feared the worst. He came across. They did they checked the mechanism.
The dreaded ACL check.
Yep, and you could see the doctor tell him that he thinks it's ACL. They actually had a bit of a laugh. You know, he was almost in shock.
As in like a... It couldn't be, could it? Are you joking?
Yeah, it was exactly like that. There was a lot of emotion on the bench. Dan Hannabury was there, came over, gave him a kiss, gave him a hug. He was actually devastated even after the game, Hannabury. I saw him come out of the rooms. It was just cruel, very, you know, great that he got back last week and then to have it taken away. Mm. But as you say, for them to find a way to win against the odds was incredible.
You would, Paul Roos spoke after the game and spoke about his resilience and regardless of what's going to happen with his footy career now, which, you know, most likely is over, serious knee surgeries, he just said that the resilience that he's shown, the popularity within the football club will set him up for success now, whatever he chooses.
So public speaking,
all really
motivational
nice words.
Speaking.
I think he'd be an asset to any club, really, if he wanted 100%. To be in any sort of welfare coaching role.
But what about the win? Isaac Heaney in that last quarter, it wasn't just that hanger of the century, but his defensive efforts, he went into the centre. They just find a way, the Swans. They were written off last week, even before the Collingwood game. Can't win it. And suddenly they're up to six, Lauren.
Yeah, they just don't go away. I know we continually say it on this very podcast that unfortunately for supporters of non-successful clubs, the teams like Sydney, Geelong, I know they fell short, but those sort of teams that just never go away, Hawthorn's another one. It's incredibly frustrating and that they do just find a way to win at this time of year too. Buddy at the G. Jeez, they're just scary, aren't they?
Well, I've got Giants and Hawks, but Jay, I want to talk to you about Melbourne because this was, as Sammy Landsberger says in his column for the Herald Sun tomorrow, put a line through Melbourne. If they couldn't win today, they can't go on to win the Premiership.
Yeah, that side of the coin is the big story from this game, that's for sure. I mean, they took a risk with Max Gawn a little bit. He struggled throughout the week, walked laps, had a corky. I think ideally he wouldn't have played this weekend. But they did put him in the ruck. They had so much entries forward, so much opportunity forward, and couldn't convert. And
two rotations down.
Yeah, the question about this football club and its mental fragility, or you know whether it can win the games it is expected to win.
Gentleman's club.
Yeah, the James Bond can be a gentleman and a killer. I think these are valid because this was meant to be the year that Melbourne was going to catapult into the top four, top eight. We've seen them play top four football at times, but they've been inconsistent. And Simon Goodwin has got to be so strong in this football club this week. They go to Perth and then they've got GWS after that, so it's going to be a very tough run. Not made easy by the fact that Bernie Vince is out for the rest of the season with the shoulder issue.
Unbelievable that they have ended up in this situation again, where it's going to come down to the very last minute. And Simon Goodwin said a couple of weeks ago he was adamant that they learned from what happened last year. Of course, they fell at the very, very final hurdle. Other results didn't go their way. But he was certain that they had learned from it. They were adamant that it wasn't going to happen again. And yet here we are in the same situation. Have they learned from it? It's incredible that they've found themselves back in this situation again. If it was Melbourne of 2 years ago, I'd feel a bit sorry for them. I'm not sure
what I do now. A lot of people fell into the trap. You remember when they beat Adelaide up in Northern Territory and you flick on the Monday night shows on the couch, Footy Classified, they were salivating about this Melbourne rebuild. How did they do it? And they are potentially going to miss the finals.
Yeah, it would be a huge story. And you know Simon Goodwin would be under pressure next year to finally get him in the eight next year. There's no doubt about that. But I think the kick inside 50 was the big one that let him down today. I mean, their distribution inside the forward half was really poor, and they've just got to be better than that.
They only get Jack Viney back, so there's not a hell of a lot
Hibbert.
Of person. Hibbert as well, okay.
And if Jack Viney comes
back.
Yeah, if. Because I was at Melbourne training the other day, watched Max Gawn walk the laps, and let me tell you, there was absolutely no sign of Jack Viney. I know he had a run around on Saturday, but you'd have to think he's a few weeks away, and if they don't make it, you won't see him.
Can we write Port Adelaide out of the equation as well? Cross them off the list after that choke. That's the only word you can describe, a choke on Saturday night.
I think so. I mean, Paddy Ryder, hip issue, Charlie Dixon out for the rest of the year. They're so important for their structure. And I think they will lose Jared Pollock to North Melbourne at the end of the season as well. But I think Port need their best team out. Robbie Gray had that shot to win. What was it, with a couple of minutes left? I mean, he just had to nail that shot. I'm really disappointed with Port. I mean, I picked him to go all the way. Mm. So I've been really disappointed with them this year.
Yeah, I thought they'd be top four, but have to agree with you there, Jay. To lose key pillars like that, that you build a team around, don't you? You build your entire setup around guys like Paddy Ryder and Charlie Dixon. So, yeah, you'd have to think, unfortunately for Kenny, it's not looking good.
Eagles have secured top two, you'd have to say now. Underman, it was a great effort. Last 2 minutes, played out perfectly. McGovern was the hero. You'd think they'll now host a final. I reckon first and second's all but stitched up. It's just a matter of who they play.
And they're going to be hard to beat in Perth. So you think they're every chance now to win two finals and make the grand final. I mean, they're in the box seat. However, I don't know. There's a part of me which dreads another West Coast grand final. I mean, we saw them a few years ago against Hawthorn, and they were obliterated by half time, save for that Jack Darling drop mark in the third quarter. Mm. I mean, I just don't think they can go all, you know, they can seriously challenge Richmond at the MCG, the big one in September, not without Nick, Nat, Gaff, maybe.
So who is it? I mean, Hawthorn, maybe. Could Clarkson get his fifth premiership?
Oh, I wouldn't write it off.
Well, I mean, to beat Geelong as well as they did, he outcoached Scott, no doubt, on the weekend. But are they fourth or are they fifth? I think they're fourth.
So it's fourth on the ladder, yep.
Round six last year, they're talking about catastrophic change.
Mm. The whole club rebuild is extraordinary. What have they been outside the eight for a year? I mean, they won three flags in a row, and convention tells you they've got to go down the bottom of the ladder for a couple of years.
That's what the rules are. You're supposed to go down.
But you know good what? Coaching.
Just, it is.
It's unbelievable.
And everyone, how many people tried to lay into this football club for the Jay Graham era trade? There were so many critics of that. How's it looking at the moment?
It's looking better.
He kicks the winning goal, but they just know what they're doing. You've got to back him in.
Our man Daniel Horne at Champion Data, who's the guru of stats, just says what's going on with their defensive grid is going under the radar. You can't move the ball against them. So Chris Scott and Geelong just froze in the lights.
Five goals to three-quarter time. But what do you think about Geelong, Loz? Because, I mean,
the goading of Chris Scott hasn't exactly panned out the way he may have liked when he said that a lot would have to go right for Richmond to win it. Let's be honest, a lot would have to go wrong for Richmond not to win it. I think that's backfired. And I think Geelong, well, with Sydney winning, they're really up. Even if they win their next two, they could miss the eight.
Yeah, they've definitely got to win the next two games and win them big too. We know percentage is going to come into play for those sort of bottom teams that are going to make it into the top eight. But, yeah, you Sounded a little bit like Kane Corns then. He was first to jump on as soon as the siren went that, you know, a lot has to go right for Richmond to win the flag, or is it more like a lot has to go right for the Cats to make the eight? So it didn't take him long. We mentioned it last week that maybe Chris was talking to his own players through
the
media.
Well, they weren't listening.
But it doesn't sound like they were listening, does it? I know we've talked up the Cats over recent weeks and Gary Ablett and these sort of key players that this would be their time to shine, and Geelong is this experienced outfit. But Reece Stanley going down, and again, who would have thought, you know, this time last year that we'd be talking about Reece Stanley going down being a huge out for the Cats? But, it hasn't exactly gone to plan.
What did Paul Roos say about their game plan, Geelong?
This was the most interesting part of the Geelong discussion for mine. Paul Roos saying, questioning, what is the Cats' game plan? Now, if he doesn't know what Geelong's brand is...
That's a barb, isn't it?
That's an alarm bell for me.
For a coach, that's the biggest barb you can make.
Yeah.
From a rival coach.
what's the brand? And we've seen him in a couple of weeks sort of try and play more aggressive down the middle, but seemingly it is still so reliant on the individual brands of Selwood, Dangerfield, Ablett, but, you know, teams are still exposing them the other way. They also haven't been clean in the contest. Lots of fumbles, lots of broken tackles against Hawthorn. Daniel Menzel had a poor day. Cameron Guthrie had a poor day. And, it's going to be interesting to see what they do at the end of the year, because seemingly this list in this team
it's a good point.
Needs some tweaking.
Well, they can't win it, so I've crossed them off the list as well.
Before, not many left on your list.
I think the teams that can win it, Richmond, GWS, they can still win it, even though he's sure that's a huge blow for them. West Coast, and that's it.
No Hawks.
Oh, sorry, I'll put a hold on Hawthorn.
Oh, so it's a sort of a race in three and a half there, isn't it?
What do you reckon?
I would agree. Yeah, I know I said the Giants a few weeks ago, as you said, Heath Shaw's a big out for them. I think we're still awaiting news on how bad that injury is for him.
Didn't look good.
It didn't look good. That's exactly right. So, it's getting critical at this time of year. But, geez, Richmond, I said it feels like 4 or 5 weeks ago it might have been now that no one was going to get near them. And it seems to be strengthening by the week, that argument.
And Jack Riewoldt, 10.
Oh my goodness.
Is he the All-Australian full forward?
Yeah, well, we threw him up a few weeks ago, didn't we, whether it was him, Ben Brown or Tom Hawkins. But you would have
to think now,
as soon as the ball gets near him, just his ability to create, his marking, I've never seen him mark like he has this year. And it's just going to be a really nice boost for the confidence heading into September. Yeah.
Who? I think he won the Best and Fairest in 2010, Jack Riewoldt.
Yes,
could he win it again this year, Mick? Or who do you think will?
He could. I mean, Dimmer didn't like him kicking 10, but... I like Kane Lambert. I think he'll fly under the radar, and I think he'll do well in the Brownlow as well. Dusty's had a great year, even though
he's not going to win the Best and Fairest, is he?
Dusty?
Yeah.
He's hardly done by. We
That's what happens when you have such a good year, doesn't it?
Who do you think wins it?
I think Kane Lambert will win it.
That's the man Gold Coast should throw the kitchen sink at. We've said that.
Well, the Gold Coast Suns were pretty ordinary, let's be honest, but there's a sicker team than Gold Coast. No, actually, I will retract that. They're not quite as sick as Gold Coast. But the St Kilda Footy Club, Lauren, are, in my opinion, sicker than Carlton.
Blowtorch.
Yeah, it wasn't a good night. And as we know, there's nowhere to hide on a Friday night. They fell 43 points short of Essendon, who, you know, they were pretty slick and quick on the Etihad Stadium deck. But unfortunately, there was just no response. And Alan Richardson, after the loss the previous week to the Western Bulldogs, he was certain that there would... And he demanded a response from his players. And unfortunately, we didn't see it. And it's just... And I heard Terry Wallace talking about it on Saturday. And it was the one thing that stood out to me on Friday night, sitting at home watching it on my couch, was the heart of the game. So that, you know, you sort of look at... You know, 10 minutes into the second quarter, right through to three-quarter time, they've given
up
21 goals in 2 weeks and scored 2 goals.
Yeah.
Like, that is the time to win a game, to take the game on. You know, there were some positive signs there. Little ones, Nathan Freeman kicking his first goal, everyone getting around him. We love to see that. It was absolutely fantastic in his second game. But, yeah, the ball movement, they just... You know, they look a bit stressed. They look a bit panicked the whole time. Kingy described the ball movement and strategy as a bit ad hoc and random, and that's exactly what it looked like. I know they weren't as accurate. Again, that's an issue that's plagued them all season. We've talked endlessly about that. But, they're sure that Richo's going to coach them. They're going to get a few more assistants around him. But I tell you what, the pressure will be on next year if they don't perform.
The pressure will be on before next year. I look at St Kilda as a club that is about to explode.
Agree.
They look to me like a firecracker.
Yeah.
Well, people, I think people are just a bit, well, when? You know, the last few years we've come into the season hearing that this is their year. This is the year that they're going to push up. You know, obviously Nick Riewoldt, Lee Montagna and Sean Dempster all left at the end of last season. This was going to be the resurgence of the Jacks and, you know, this next wave of St Kilda players, but it just hasn't happened.
Tail wags a dog at St Kilda. There is no hardness, not enough leadership, not enough ruthlessness. I think this young playing group has been able to do basically whatever it wants. And there's a lot of positivity from Alan Richardson each week. I think he needs to take the bit bit between the horns and really put the pressure and try and fire up this group, because I just haven't seen a lot of leadership and enough ruthlessness and enough spirit and camaraderie. Like Jack Loney kicked that goal in the third quarter and it was nothing. It was quiet as a mouse in Etihad Stadium. Where's the verve? And to get rid of Nick Riewoldt and Lee Montagna, I think, was a worse call than Melbourne getting rid of its captain, James McDonald, a few years ago. Ooh. Like, they should have at least kept one
of
them.
Weren't they finished?
The players? Yeah. Well, Montagna finished sixth in their best and fairest, I think, and Nick Riewoldt could probably still be their captain.
Dan Hanbury situation, to me, is a window into this. I was away, but didn't the coach sort of deny interest in Dan Hanbury on the Monday? And then by Wednesday, it was confirmed as fact.
Yeah, and Simon Leflin's confirmed
it
as well.
Does he not know the coach that they're into Dan Hanbury?
A bit over the place. And let's face it, Sydney's not happy about them being on the record about all this either. I mean, here's a bloke who's got three more years left to run on the contract. So maybe St Kilda's, you know, wanting to appease the fans.
It's messy.
That was the interesting thing, because Simon was on radio on Friday night saying, you know, he's got a close relationship, he said, with Dan Hanbury, but was adamant that he wouldn't go directly to Dan, that they had spoken to Tom Harley and the Swans about whether that they were going to then approach him.
Why are they talking
but
about
then
this
It was
now?
All sort of very strange, because as you said earlier in the week, it was all a bit grey as to whether it was even on the cards.
Do you know what is the most damning stat in football? St Kilda has lost 15 games this year, and 14 of them have been more than 24 points. So that
Blowout
is some
city.
Serious hemorrhaging going on there.
And everyone says Simon Leflin's, you know, going to fix it. But, I mean, right at the moment he's part of the problem, because they're not on the same page.
I think that she's trying to digest all the information. I think
privately. Don't talk about Dan Hanbury publicly.
Maybe they're trying to appease the fans and look busy, all that sort of stuff. But Sydney's not happy about that.
The other club north have blown it.
Talk about self-sabotage. Jeez, that was just so disappointing from them, wasn't it? It was, you know, this was the opportunity to really stamp some authority and say, we're a serious threat and we really want to play in the finals. But what was the margin in the end? It was close, but...
Jay, you might think this is harsh, right? Mm-hmm. But Stephen Silvani made a really good point when he did that Footy Classified interview, where he said it's pretty easy to build a list to finish 8th, 9th, 10th, 7th even, but it's harder to go... to strip it right back and go to 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, is North's list build, have they got a top four team at their disposal?
Well, not yet, but I think they've overachieved. I think they've got a...
No, I know they've overachieved, but is this team capable of going to a preliminary final?
Well, not quite yet, but I think they're doing the right thing, because they're taking the Geelong and the Hawthorne route, and they're not just going to go down to the bottom and, you know, try and get all these top picks. They're trying to be competitive and do as best as they can every year. And
the problem with that is the Geelong and Hawthorne model, they had champions. So I don't see that quite that North... I'm not convinced they're headed.
I think North deserve huge plaudits for what they've done this year. I expected them to be bottom four, and they've won games that I didn't think...
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about is their list development headed in a trajectory to be a top four team?
Certainly on an upward curve. And will they get there? Oh, maybe. But they haven't had the picks either. I mean, they haven't... how many top 10 picks have they got? Cunnington, Zeebel and Luke... you know, Uniacke Davies. Like, you know, I just think they're trying to be as competitive as they can, and in a year's time, we'll hope to have Josh Kelly playing their team.
Well, on that, let's talk about it. Trade HQ. Mm-hmm. Can they get Kelly? Will they get Jared Pollock?
I think they get Pollock. I think they've just offered... I think Port doesn't have much room to move on his contract, offering him sort of, say, $450,000. North have got a $700,000 deal on the table. It's front-loaded, I think.
How much?
I think it's about $700,000 a year.
And
I
think $450,000.
about that. And I think the first year is front-ended. So it'll be about $900,000 a mil for the first year. And like Jared Pollock,
pay for the renovation.
Well, he has to take that. Like, he'd be mad not to. So, and we know Port's pretty tight with the salary cap. So I'd expect him to be there. And I reckon there's still a big chance to get Kelly because the Giants are very tight.
So is that what they need then in terms of, we've heard about this war chest for years now and they've been in the market for Dusty and in the market for all these big fish then. So if you say, if it's about building a top four list, is landing this big fish, whether that's Jared Pollock or Josh Kelly, as you say, next year?
Well, Josh
How much of a sort of, if we were to say what a percentage boost that's going to be towards the top four, what would you say that is?
Oh, huge. 25%. Well, I mean, yeah, okay. He'll finish his career with a Brownlow or two, Josh Kelly.
Well, tell me about Josh Kelly. Can he play for North next year? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think he'd be more likely the end of next year.
But
I think,
possibly could be there next year.
I think it's a low chance. I think more likely... I think the GWS boys are committed to having another big throw at the stumps next year. They want to win a premiership. If not this year, then next year. All bets are off Kelly Shiel after that.
Let's throw in a bit of the coaching merry-go-round into Trade HQ as well, the likes of Brett Ratton and others, yep. Johnny Barker.
I think GWS has made an approach to John Barker. So he just missed out on the Brisbane Gold Coast jobs, obviously. Rated one of the best assistants in the game. They want some more coaching and tactical acumen in the GWS coaching box. But Barker with a young family, I'm not sure he wants to move into state. So I think it's probably more unlikely than likely that he'll move it at this point, but certainly GWS is trying.
Ratton?
The merry-go-round is interesting. Ratton lands at St Kilda for mine, Moorabbin next year, and Sammy Mitchell, Hawthorn, rejoins Alistair Clarkson, gets the Clarko magic dust, and potentially can senior coach within the next 2 or 3 years.
What a combo that'll be, reunited back at Waverley Park. But Brett Ratton, it was interesting hearing him speak on Saturday. He, of course, news a couple of weeks ago that he'll be leaving the Hawks at the end of the year, as you say, Jay. Think he'll end up at Moorabbin, but he's really passionate about his coaching. He's determined that he's got the energy. He was asked whether he would consider a football manager role and said, oh, hang on a minute, I'm only 47. Like, I think I've still got the passion, but definitely thinks he'll be better off. He's got an extra 10 years of maturity under his belt since he took the reins at Carlton. I wouldn't rule him out as being another senior coach in the future for sure.
All right, Lauren, tell me about your health list. You've done a full audit with Chris Kavanagh.
No, I'm not taking credit for this one. This is absolutely belongs to Chris Kavanagh, who's run the rule over every finals-bound team. And their sick list, because as we know, the last few weeks it becomes a really critical period. We saw it with your Tigers last year, Mick. You just want to be healthy, or you want to be having key players coming back. So it's a very expansive list he's got in the Monday Herald Sun, and I can tell you right now, your Tigers are looking the healthiest of the bunch, Mick. They've got a pain rating of 1, which is the lowest. They've got Essendon and the Bulldogs to come. Injuries. Reece Conker, unfortunately, he was felled with that ankle again on the weekend.
Is that what Chris is saying?
Well, he's in, there's a few others, Oleg Markov and Dan Butler, but they'll be coming back. That's the key thing that, teams like Sydney, they've got a few serious ones in there. Of course, Alex Johnson was another one that went down. Melbourne, another one. Jack Viney, we mentioned there. Port Adelaide, who we spoke about earlier, very big key players out for them. Essendon's an interesting one too. They ended up with no bench on Friday night, but looks like all those guys will be back. So it's definitely worth checking out in the Monday Herald Sun because, as we know, it's a very, very important time of year.
Collingwood, news on the injury front for them. Jamie Elliott and Ben Reid are done for the season, so they won't play again. Nathan Buckley, Sir Tyson Goldsack will try and get back this week from a back/knee reconstruction. Flynn Appleby due back soon, and Adam Treloar in a race to be fit for finals.
What happens to Jamie Elliott?
Look, I think there's some chance he can leave. I think Collingwood's deal on the table is modest. And I think he'd be canvassing his options.
They win their last two, though, the Pies, don't they? Can they sneak in a fourth? That set up a Richmond-Collingwood first final.
That's the final I'd love to see. That's the one. Richmond Collingwood first final. That would be 90,000 at the G, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Pray for Metro Trains. if that's on the cards, but
just
I love it.
Quickly, Lauren, you'll be at the tribunal on Tuesday night.
Yes, we've had the early one, which is, of course, as we know, the best part of the new system. We find out within 24 hours of the Friday night game. It blew up Twitter, didn't it? I don't know whether you guys were keeping an eye on it on Friday night. But, yeah,
Nathan
Brown... because
of that red card rubbish.
Flushed Adam Sard. And, I mean, initially you sort of looked at it and Adam Sard's lying on the ground. They're getting the stretcher out there and everyone automatically thinks, oh, geez, he's got him in the head here. Then there's talk of whether he got him shoulder to shoulder. But it was the timing of it, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was
the
just that few, you know, second and a half too late, which ruled it out from being compared to the Ryan Burton, Sean Higgins.
But he got off Higgins.
Differentiated.
They said at the time you're not responsible for the head injury if it's a whiplash, and now they're saying that you are because it's late.
It's a grey area. I find that hard to read as well.
Very grey.
The AFL may as well have a sign out the front that says grey area.
Because remember, it was the North Melbourne Hawthorn game. Who was it? It was it Ryan Burton cleaned
Sean
up
Higgins.
Sean Higgins.
That's exactly what
and
I just
he,
said.
Yeah, he got...
He's clean out your ears.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah. They carry on.
That's a fair point. Just backing up your excellent.
Yeah. So Nathan Brown, I mean, I know St Kilda, you know, things haven't been going too well for them, but he's been a really key defender for them, great experience down back. So as we know, tribunal Tuesday night, minimum three, you would think, given that he's been sent straight there. But, yeah, it'll be one to watch.
Hopefully he gets off
and
they can exploit the grey area. There's another grey area, but I think he will get a week. Tell me about the outrage around AFLW and Robbo's column.
You mentioned the sick list before. How healthy or sick is AFLW?
Well, it's just rolled on, unfortunately, and I think that's what people are getting sick of. The fact that, you know, the AFL head of women's footy, Nicole Livingston, she spoke a few days ago, but there's still no definitive answer on what the season's going to look like, what the broadcast arrangements are. You know, these girls are preparing to start their pre-season, not knowing what their season's going to look like, how many games they're going to be playing, all that sort of stuff. So, as we know, Mark Robinson ran the rule over it on Saturday and looked at sort of a bit of the wider picture of, you know, broadcasters. He spoke to a lot of people that are involved in the game, coaches, football managers, broadcast people, people at the AFL, of where this is sort of at. Because while the AFL's really keen to obviously grow the game and support women's footy really heavily, at the end of the day, it is a business as well. So there's a lot that they need to take in. Notice that the feedback for Robbo was, you know, basically split down the middle. A lot of people agreed with him. There were some pretty heavy disagreements. I thought he ended up, it was pretty balanced.
No. What do you think of the AFL Women's Comp? How well do you think it's travelling?
Oh, I think we need to play as we said a few weeks ago, if it's to be taken seriously as a competition, which it should be and it is, I think every team needs to play each other once. We don't need to be reducing the games back to six, as we know has been thrown into the mix. But I think we just need some clarity on the entire situation because, as I say, these girls are preparing to start their pre-seasons and they don't even know where things are going to be at. I know Daisy threw up a January 5 start. Can't see that happening with the tennis on, but we all just want to know what's happening.
What's it got to do with the tennis? You know what I mean? Like, just play the bloody season, AFL. I told you this was a smokescreen for the Essendon drug saga at the time. Gil pulled it out of the bottom drawer. What can I do? And once you've committed to it, commit to it.
Yeah. You know what I reckon? I reckon it was a mistake to expand the teams. I even reckon if they went the other way, if they only had four teams, then we would see a higher concentration of talent. I think we want to be dealing with the best of the best here. I just think the more teams, the step towards more teams has created more problems than it's worth. And I'm not the expert on that.
Well, it's just our new way, isn't it? The generation, we love to just rush everything and expect it to be great straight away. But I think a little bit of patience would not have gone astray.
I think they've had a 2 out of 10 year at the AFL, and that is being generous. All right, thank you very much. That's all we have time for the Round 21 Super Footy Podcast. We'll see you next week.
We'll be right back. There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Owning a home is full of surprises. Some wonderful, some not so much. And when something breaks, it can feel like the whole day unravels. That's why HomeServe exists. For as little as $4.99 a month, you'll always have someone to call. A trusted professional ready to help, bringing peace of mind to 4.5 million homeowners nationwide. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to HomeServe.com. That's HomeServe.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.